You are listening to TRC Unleashed.
Miles to the left. Blitz again. Picked up initially. Dylan throwing left side. Back shoulder. Caught. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Bruce Ellington. 14 yards out. A bullet from Dylan Thompson to the back shoulder of Bruce Ellington. Clemson never saw it. Never saw it. Carolina trailing by four. Clock under 12 minutes now in the third quarter. Three wide receivers set. Shotgun snap. Thompson got some time. Throwing down the middle. Got his man on a bullet at the 10. Ace breaks away at the 5. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Ace Sanders. 34 yards out. And the backup from Boiling Springs throws a bullet for a touchdown. Third down, 19. Shotgun snap. Thompson, quarterback draw, left side. Got one block, got another. Inside the 20, 15, 10. Dylan Thompson, first down for the Gamecocks, and they drag him out of bounds around the 6-yard line. That may be Connor Shaw's play, but Dylan Thompson just dialed it up for 20 yards and a Gamecock first down. Look at the hands on the hips of those Clemson defenders. Cunningham splits over to the right side, puts his hand down. Two wide receivers right side. Shotgun snap, rolling right, Thompson. Looking backside, throwing late. End zone, caught. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown. Bruce Ellington, second on the night from 6 yards out. Boom. Carolina trying to crank it up now. First and 10. Boyd dropping back under pressure. That's Jadeveon Clowney. J.D. Clowney hits Taj Boyd in the back of the head and drops him minus 10. We called it out. J.D. dialed it up. Receivers left side under pressure. Clowney to close it out. 2-1. That's it. The Gamecocks have won it 4 years in a row over the Clemson Tigers.
Ain't got time for chit-chat. I'm trying to get this money. So get up out my face. You doo-doo head dummy.
Hey, soldier boy, can I...
Y'all drink, y'all!
Yo, well, A-Rap, I really...
Y'all drink, y'all!
Cali Park, me.
Come on, come on!
Hey, man, I was just wondering, can I get up...
Y'all, y'all drink!
Get out my face!
Get out my face!
Hello, Gamecock Nation. If you were able to sit through that extra long intro, then welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 38. I am your host, Buck, and I'm joined, as always, by T-Bone and the G-Man in South Carolina. And, you know, sorry about the long intro, but as I was compiling clips from last night, I just couldn't decide on one or two, which is what I usually do. Normally, no more than a maximum of two, but there were just too many, and I'm too giddy over the game last night to leave anything out. So appreciate you hanging in there and listening through that. So, gentlemen, Gamecocks won their fourth straight over Clemson last night, and a glorious night it was. It's been a good Sunday reading all the articles and tweets and quotes and seeing the photos and videos. And like I texted you guys earlier today, there's really no better Sunday than the Sunday after we beat Clemson in football. I swear, it's just totally, it was a beautiful day outside. I kicked back, watched some NFL football, and just felt like I didn't have a care in the world for a little while there. But, you know, one thing I was trying to figure out today is why are we always so pessimistic? And our listeners really don't get the pessimism that we carry around with us.
It's because we very desperately and effectively hide the dark sides of our personality.
Right. You know, the pessimism comes out, you know, occasionally on the show. But for the most part, we try to prop everybody up and say everything's going to be okay. But I think I've come to the realization that it's just a defense mechanism because we've had so many years of disappointment that we never want to get our hopes up too high for fear of being let down. You know, and the last few weeks have been a prime example of this. You know, Clemson has been running up the score on inferior competition, but they usually drop a game during the season that they probably shouldn't, that we point at and say, yeah, they're not very good, you know. But they hadn't done that this year. They were 10-1 coming in, and we knew they had a high-powered offense and a suspect defense, but it just kind of starts to creep into your psyche that, you know, maybe they are actually a pretty good team this year. And the way we played last week against Wofford, nobody was happy about that. And for the first time yesterday, I just haven't been paying attention, but Taj Boyd was mentioned as a Heisman candidate a fringe Heisman candidate. The little ticker across the bottom was actually showing him as number five in the Heisman race. But and then yesterday afternoon, looking at Twitter, all of a sudden we find out that Connor Shaw is not starting. And, you know, you have message board meltdowns and Twitter meltdowns. And there was a texting meltdown between the three of us. I mean, we were throwing in the towel. And I actually commented that I would eat my hat if Dylan Thompson led us to victory. So the hat was delicious for lunch. it was really good. I had it with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. So before we get into specifics, just T-Bone, I'll let you go first. How are you feeling today? Did you have any good Tiger interactions at church this morning?
Well, let me take a step back there because to really put it in context, you need to realize I live less than 10 minutes from Memorial Stadium. And gentlemen, I'll expound on this later.
Which was named on behalf of the people who gave their lives to defend
right.
our country.
And we will
right.
hereinafter refer to that place as Memorial Stadium.
Right, not Death Valley.
No, okay. Absolutely not. But anyway, I live about 10 minutes from Memorial Stadium. Yesterday, that was the longest day of my life. Maybe my wedding day was longer than that. I don't know. But it was a long day. And I was running errands. I was doing, you know, things around the house, anything to try to pass the time. But anywhere I went, it was just the cacophony of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, the Clemson cheer, the flags everywhere. I'm in Home Depot, which is way too orange anyway, which if you really want, you notice that on Clemson, Carolina Day. But random Clemson fans high-fiving each other, giving Ric Flair screams and everything. And I'm just turtling my way through it, which is what you have to do around here. Then today, no flags, no noise. It's just silent here. There's not even leaves falling in the upstate anymore. Everything is just tranquil and silent. You went to church. It was half empty.
Yeah,
I went to church this morning, you know, because I do that. I go to church. Half empty. The people that know my loyalties, which I think are probably all of them.
Right.
They made eye contact across the room and then furtively found something else to do.
So tell the audience the story of the I'm still fascinated by the prediction that you got last week from a quote friend unquote of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a you know, a professional guy, smart guy, Clemson grad. Met him at a social function. I guess it was Friday night. And we were talking about the game and talking about different ways that it was going to play out. And he said, well, you need to understand that, you know, we get 28 points pretty much by the first quarter and a half. That's just the way our offense works. And so we'll have that. And, you know, then the question will be, can y'all keep pace? And while I think y'all are quality, I don't think you're going to be able to keep pace with that. So then, you know, Dabo's unfortunately too Christian of a guy to really run up the score. So we're probably looking at something in the 50-37 ballpark as a result. And on one hand, I'm debating him. But on the other hand, it kind of gets in your head.
Yeah.
I don't know why we let it get in our head. And this goes to what you're speaking to. Why don't we just laugh at him and, you know, throw something at him and walk away? I don't know.
Yeah, and he was dead serious about this prediction.
No, he was not even trying to pick on me. This yeah. was his. He was using his reasonable voice.
Right. G-Man, how about you? How's the day been?
Glorious. Just basking in the glow. Can't. I did not go to church today because I did not wake up in time because I think I went to bed at 3. So or thereabouts.
Right.
I watched post game. I listened to stuff. I went on message boards. I mean, I soaked it all in. So I have to say that I didn't make it in to enjoy it with people at church today. Most of which are Gamecock fans. So yeah,
let me interrupt you there, G-Man, because I need to admit something. You're mentioning church, and you sound like you feel guilty about this. I need to be honest that during the minister's sermon today, I was actually reviewing B Click Clack's Twitter feed for the last 48 hours. And it was awesome.
Yeah. But it's just been a great a great, great day. And you know, speaking to what you say about, you know, why do we let them get in our heads? Why do we get so worried? I mean, I think it's like you said. I think it's years of, you know, being the underdog, years of being beaten by them. It's just ingrained into your being. I mean, I think some of the younger fans of the Gamecocks just, you know, and it makes us sound like a bunch of old curmudgeons. We're not that old, but yeah, we've been following this, you know, collectively, or each one of us 30 something years. And, you know, that they've historically owned us, beat us. I mean, you know, the way we are beating them now is the way they beat us. And so it's hard to condition yourself to think that we are the better team. And it's just, it's hard to break all of these years of a mindset, but I'm thinking that this may do it. This win right here may do it, you know, because last year, you know, that they struggled a little bit coming into the game. This year, they're flying higher than they've ever flown. We're playing at Death Valley. We're playing with Dylan, no Marcus. This may do it for us. You know, this may make us finally come to terms with what we have compared to what they have.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a feeling, even some of the people I was talking to Friday night, there was pretty much general acceptance among the Clemson faithful that, look, you can't win four in a row. This is the line in the sand. You can't win four in a row. You know, and I think they'll even recognize that now.
Yeah, and now I'm thinking, I mean, I was thinking last night, I'm thinking five, six, yeah. Seven. There's no way.
They need to be fearing the thumb.
There's no way they come into Columbia and beat us next year, you know, unless something completely disastrous happens.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
By completely disastrous, do you mean that we lose our best running back. And our quarterback can't play?
Right, yeah. And we, you know, defensive back doesn't make the trip yesterday. And,
that's right.
Then your starting tailback in the game gets hurt in the second half.
Yeah.
You have to play your third tailback.
Yeah, well.
See, here's the thing. That's where it's different. When this has happened in years past, we got Dickie DeMasi or Vic Penn.
Right.
You know, and now we, for whatever reason, coaching or confidence or skill players around them, the next guy steps up and we win a doggone ball game. That's the difference.
So let's get into the game, but before we do, one just amazing statistic, and T-Bone, you can throw this in the face of your Clemson buddies. We now have more 10-win regular seasons since 1981 than Clemson does.
Wow.
We have three, and they have two since 1981, 10-win regular seasons. That's kind of staggering, actually. Of course, we've got two in a row, so that helps when you can get two in a row. But
hey, there's no time like the present.
Yeah. So, you know, the game last night, and I give T-Bone a lot of credit. On last week's podcast, he talked about pace, about the pace of the game and how we needed to control it. And early on, you know, Clemson, I think we held them to a three and out on their first series. Second series, they have a long drive for a touchdown. We answer with a touchdown, and then they hit the long ball. Well, they had a long run and then hit a long ball for a touchdown, a two-play drive. And I think we're all thinking, all right, you know, back to the pessimism a little bit. It's like, maybe they are that good. You know, maybe. And one of you said at some point, it's like, we could be on the verge of getting run out of here. You know, because I think they got the ball back a couple of times with a one touchdown lead. You didn't want to go down by two touchdowns to those guys or more. And we really never came close. And the offense in the second half, we just dominated. I never saw the final play count. I know that Clemson had eight plays in the third quarter. And we had, 86 plays for the game, if I remember correctly.
86 to 59.
And old Chad Morris there likes to, you know, he likes to run, 82 plays a game. So we topped him and then held those guys to less than they had last year. I think they had more plays in the game last year. So, you know, as the first half was pretty even, quite honestly. And then the second half, we just, you know, and the non-SEC people would hate to hear that, are just sick of hearing this. We imposed our SEC will on them on the line of scrimmage and just really dominated the second half. Left points on the field. It could have been worse than it was. I mean, we had some opportunities that we didn't take advantage of. We got the benefit of a couple of questionable calls, but, you know, I think the drive where they had two pass interference calls against them was the Thompson interception is how that drive ended. So
that's right.
So those really didn't have a huge impact on the game. But give me some give me some general impressions of the offense and what you thought of how we performed under Dylan Thompson last night.
Well, I'm gonna be honest and admit that I was very concerned when it was announced that Connor couldn't play or wouldn't play or wouldn't start or whatever. And, you know, and we all know how we won the game last year was a large measure on Connor's legs with his scrambles and creativity and all those things. And so, you know, we're thinking, well, if Connor's not able to run and we don't have Marcus, you know, are we going to be able to control the ball, which is the key to this game, is controlling time possession, controlling the ball, keeping it away from them. And so I was very concerned about that, you know, but, you know, I was simply almost blown away by the efficiency and poise that that Dylan showed. And I owe him a tremendous apology and, you know, a debt of gratitude, you know, because, you know, I just didn't have the faith that he was going to be able to do what he did. And, you know, I don't know why, though. I mean, he's done it before. And frankly, the defense he was facing is nothing like most of the defenses we faced during the season. So, you know, so he comes out there and, you know, he's throwing the ball on a rope. You know, some of those out patterns when he's hitting Ace and hitting Bruce, I mean, those are some major league throws. I mean, the guy just came out and did what he does. And instead of running the ball as effectively as we did last year and 2 years ago or whatever, we just did it with the short passing game. You know, we did it with the screens and the dump offs, which are effectively long handoffs. And, you know, you just got to take your hat off to him. The guy was poised and he delivered.
Yeah. Let me say, because along the same point, And we can go too far with this comparison, but I'm going to make a comparison of a Clemson Carolina game quarterback to what Dylan Thompson did yesterday. Now, it doesn't go all the way because this guy ended up playing in the league, and I'm not necessarily suggesting Dylan's going to do that. But the way he looks, the way he moves, kind of the way he's built out and moves around, and the game he played, the 3rd and 19, the big over the middle completions. I'm thinking the whole time Charlie Whitehurst is in a Carolina uniform, yeah, and he's slinging the ball.
I got one for you there. When they beat us 13-9 in Spurrier's first season, the only time Dabo's beaten Spurrier, y'all remember what the key play was?
It was a 3rd and 20 or
third
something
and 26,
like
was it?
No, quarterback draw on 3rd and 9. Whitehurst runs for his
touchdown
to seal the game.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh no, it felt very similar to that, except a whole lot better.
Touche on that with Dylan's what was it? 3rd and 19.
3rd and 19. It was. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I totally. You can definitely see the velocity on the ball when he throws it. He's got a good arm, probably the best arm on the team, and you really saw it. There was one play in the second half where he threw the ball from one hash mark to Ace on the sideline. That was a long throw. That was probably a 40 to 50 yard throw from that hash to where Ace was. And it was just a great throw. He made some, you know, he was by no means perfect. You know, the throw that the interception was a ball that probably never should have been thrown. He probably should have just gotten rid of that one. And I think he was just above 50% completion percentage, but my gosh, he was more than we could have ever hoped for. And I don't think there's a quarterback controversy by any stretch of the imagination. Connor will be our starting quarterback in the bowl game. But you got to feel real confident that if anything happens to Connor or if Connor's not performing, that you've got a guy who can come in and make plays for you and lead us to victory in a hostile environment. You know, one of the most hostile environments that you can play in the country. And if we're going to give Clemson credit for anything, we can give them credit for how loud that crowd was and how much they were into the game last night. And he said after the game, he said, "I wasn't nervous a bit." He said, I was fine. And a lot of that has to do with he got the majority of the first team reps this week because he knew by, I think Spurrier said they made the decision Wednesday and they told him Thursday that he was going to be starting. So he was able to get mentally prepared and just, you know, had a game that will go down in this rivalry's history. Just a great game by Dylan Thompson. Gotta say, Kenny Miles, great game. Mike Davis came in when he got hurt and showed some flashes of what we're going to see from him for the next 3 years, hopefully 3 years, maybe two. And Ace Sanders and Bruce Ellington stepped up at the wide receiver position. You know, we're always concerned about not having playmakers. I think Ellington and Ace both showed that those guys are big time playmakers on our side of the field. And then on the defensive side, man, what a performance. Holding these folks to 17 points to what, 389 total yards, and most of that came in the first half. And there's just one guy that we have to talk about when we talk about the defensive performance last night. As Todd Ellis would say, J.D. Clowney.
Revenge is something.
He had 4.5 sacks. Is that right? 4.5, I think, was the final official number.
That's
the
right.
Most sacks in a game by anybody in the history of Memorial Stadium, the 71-year history of Memorial Stadium. So, you know, definitely he had a tremendous impact on the game. The DBs played well. T-Bone, give me your defensive breakdown. How were we able to stop this high-powered offense?
Well, there's a couple of things there. There's one, what our scheme obviously was, and then there's two, what I see as the million-dollar boys' complete inability to adapt to what we were doing. They came out with this confidence, which worked on a couple of plays, where they said, "We're not going to block Clowney. We're just going to zone him. We're gonna, you know, when we run the ball, we're going to read off of him. Whichever one of us he goes after, we'll give it to the other." And that actually worked with Boyd once, and it worked with Ellington a couple times. And then when they did try to block him on pass plays, they would, you know, they just man up on him, and they thought they could do that. Clemson's offense being a timing offense, a rhythm offense, the ball's got to be thrown at a certain point to make it all work. And they didn't have enough time to do that. I mean, that's what, as the game went on, you could see that they were not going to have time to get those double moves on the outside that their offense is built around. How they did not adjust and start throwing some quick things. I mean, were y'all not expecting, because I was expecting, in the second half to see a lot of wide receiver screens and quick slants to their playmakers? And they just never did that. They kept trying to throw the ball deep, and I was amazed by that.
Yeah, and I read that on Shaking the Southland, the Clemson SB Nation site. They were complaining that there weren't a lot of these screen, slant, short passes to get the ball in the hands of Hopkins and Watkins and just give them a chance to make a move or two.
I mean, did we see an end around to number two?
That was a staple
of their offense last year.
Every time they brought him across on that jet sweep look, Taj faked it and ran up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
strange. But the other thing that we did, and I was so delighted that we did do this, first couple series we really didn't seem to be bringing the heat, but as the game went on, you know, Taj was moving his feet, and as I've said all year, when he's moving his feet, his brain shuts off, and he's not looking downfield, he's just running around.
Yeah,
he's a little better at running around this year than he was last year. I think that's safe to say, but he's still not good enough to take over a game that way.
G-Man, what'd you see on defense?
You know, I want to give a little credit to the secondary as well. I mean, I think that it all starts and stops with the defensive line. I mean, I think that is the key matchup in the game. As going in, everybody knew it was going to be our D-line versus their O-line, and could they control us, which they obviously could not. But I also want to give a little credit to the defensive backs. I thought that there were a couple times when, you know, Taj just, you know, a couple of those sacks were covered sacks where he had time to throw the ball, but he just sort of ran into Clowney one time when he's trying to, you know, find somebody to throw the ball to. I think they played well. They tackled well. Other than that first drive, the long drive when they scored the first touchdown, when we missed some tackles, I thought that we tackled pretty well. And, you know, give some props to Holloman for the pick. And, you know, the three picks in four games against Clemson, which is, you know, pretty remarkable for him. But I think the defensive backs really played well. I mean, all in all, the whole defense played well. But you got to, you know, also give credit to the offense for keeping the ball. I mean, Clemson had the ball for 19 plays in the second half. So, you know, the defense was rested, didn't have to do a lot, and could really just come in there and rush the passer. But I was also surprised by the lack of adapting by them. I think they sort of panicked, to be honest with you. I think they panicked because they didn't
have – Well, they really haven't faced that situation all year. They have scored basically at will against everybody. And in this game yesterday, it's almost unbelievable given the track record they've had this year. They scored 3 points in the final three quarters of that game. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Big credit to the defense, and I agree. You know, the DBs, even on, you know, on the long touchdown pass to Hopkins, Akeem Augusti was all over him. I don't know how that ball didn't hit his hand. I mean, it went right by it and dropped into Hopkins' lap. And then the long ball that led to a field goal for Clemson in the second half to Jerron Brown. Holloman was all over that, had his hand on the ball, and Brown just made a great play to hang on to that and pull it down. So, yeah, just got to give a lot of credit to Lorenzo Ward and the defense just for an outstanding performance. So the seniors finish off Clemson, and they go 4-0, the first 4-0 record for a senior class against Clemson since the 50s. G-Man, I know you wanted to mention a few guys before we get to our rubber chicken awards. So did you have anybody particular in mind?
Well, I mentioned Holloman already, but you know that guy has been just instrumental in this 4-0 streak against Clemson with the interceptions that he has come up with and just his solid play. He doesn't get a lot of publicity. You know, he was sort of in Gilmore's shadow, and he's sort of been in Swearinger's shadow and all that. But that guy came in very highly recruited and has been just a rock at spur or at safety for us for 4 years. And I think he is he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And I think he's going to be playing on Sundays for a long time. But I think Swearinger deserves a load of credit. Another guy who's going to be playing on Sundays. He's got that NFL mentality. Justice Cunningham. Yep. Yeah, I know he dropped a pass or two yesterday, which is unlike him, but he was also big in the game, had a couple of big catches, and, you know, all year has just been a stud. TJ Johnson, you know, we got a holding call. You know, where'd those come from, by the way? Just everywhere. But, Johnson, you know, holding down that line for 4 years. I mean, these guys, I mean, I'm leaving people out, I'm sure. But, you know, those are some that come to mind just off the cuff for me.
Yeah, pretty much all of our linebackers.
Yeah.
And, you know, Akeem Augusti has come in and played well. What little bit he's had a chance to get out there on the field this year. So it was good. Glad he was able to come back to the team here the last few games. He's definitely been a big help on the defensive side of the ball. T-Bone, any seniors you'd like to recognize?
Has anybody mentioned Kenny Miles yet?
Nobody has mentioned Kenny Miles.
Wow. You know, the performance yesterday, if for no other reason, think about what happened yesterday. You know, he's running hard, not the biggest statistical day in the world, but a workmanlike effort, picking up tough yards when we need it. He tweaks the knee. We don't know what's going on there, and he goes out. Mike Davis comes in, and we're excited about what Mike Davis is doing. But he gets his bell rung. And, you know, I don't know if y'all are thinking, but I'm thinking, do we bring Brandon Wiles in and blow his red shirt for one play?
I'm thinking Blue, or who's the right, other tailback?
I'm thinking Wildcat, which is what we did at the end of the game, right, if you'll notice. I'm thinking Wildcat. So what we did is Kenny Miles trotted his injured rear end back out there on the field and not only played, he picked up a big third and six, I think it was,
right,
on the ground.
Yeah, that was the first down that pretty much locked it up right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that iced the game. And then he immediately pulled himself because you could tell he had more heart than he had leg. But he got it done. We're gonna miss that cat. You know, we are gonna miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more person to recognize who I think he's a senior is our kicker. Man, what a job that guy did.
Yeah.
I mean, every kickoff was into the end zone. He nails both the field goals. I mean, he has quietly had a very good season.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was he did have a good game. I was thinking that last night with the kickoffs, because we didn't want Ellington or one of those other guys bringing any kicks out against us. So that was great. And then he just calmly comes in and drills both field goal attempts, you know, right down the middle. So one senior I'd like to recognize, not for South Carolina but for Clemson, is Dalton Freeman. Dalton, congratulations for going 0-4 against South Carolina, for before the game saying you didn't know what was so special about Jadeveon Clowney that you guys played against players like him every week in the ACC, and then for after the game saying that Clemson gave the game to South Carolina. They didn't win it. We lost it. So here's to you, Dalton Freeman, and good luck
I'll tell you right now, the guy will not play in the pros if you've watched him at all. He will not. And given the, I don't know, his pidgin English that he speaks, I don't think he's going to be able to coach.
Yeah.
This guy, though, does have a future on WCCP, the voice of the Clemson Tigers. He matches so well with Will Merritt that it's a match made in heaven.
Right. So he'll be filling in for Will Merritt. Well, Dalton, good luck in life with that attitude that you have there. So let's do some rubber chicken awards, and I am going to go first because, like G-Man, I have an apology to make to Dylan Thompson. I just didn't have a lot of confidence in the guy based on what I had seen, and he just stepped up and played a great game last night. Again, poised under, you know, there's not many more pressure-packed situations that you can put a guy in college football than starting quarterback for the Carolina-Clemson game, and he only knew for half the week that he was going to be the starting quarterback and come out and put together a performance like that. I think I called into the cock box, the half-cock show cock box, and I was complaining about people complaining about Connor Shaw, and I said that Dylan Thompson will be our fourth-string quarterback by this time next year, and obviously, that's not true. Dylan Thompson has got a solid grip on the number two spot. And, you know, hey, great job. T-Bone, how about you?
Well, I always try to approach the Rubber Chicken Award completely in an arbitrary, random fashion and also change it up from week to week. So this week I'm going to go with the Thanksgiving turkey approach to the Rubber Chicken. We're going to divide up this bird between a few players, and it's going to be our wideouts. It's going to be the wideouts. You know, I'm going to give half the breast meat to Bruce Ellington. I'm going to give the other half of the breast meat to Ace Sanders, and then I'm going to throw a drumstick to Nicky Jones because, man,
yeah, where did he come from?
Big catches in that game.
Yeah,
this game was strangely and completely against my expectations. It became a game that was defined by wide receivers. Not our backs, not our tight ends, but our wide receivers. And it was great seeing them make plays.
G-Man, only one rubber chicken award left for the regular season. I think we all know who you're going to give it to.
Well, I'm going to give it to the best football player, not only on our team, not only in our conference, but I'm going to go way out there and say the best college football player in America. Jadeveon Clowney.
Wow, yeah, look
there
at that.
There you go.
And the guy is a freak. He's a beast. I don't know what other words you want to use to describe this guy. But, I mean, I'm not sure we'll ever see anybody else of his ability. I mean, he looked like a man among boys. And I remember when we watched his high school tape and just, it was almost like watching a cartoon, you know, watching right. his high school tape. But you know, it's not quite like that now. But the guy is just amazing. And, you know, he dominated that game. I mean, he took it over in the second half. You know, I want to give some credit to the rest of the defensive line too, because those guys are also very, very good. And I want to give maybe 1/8 or so of this rubber chicken award to Devin Taylor, because I think the guy is a heck of a football player, but he has just been severely overshadowed the last 2 years by Clowney. And that's just too bad for Taylor, because he's a great player, but Clowney is just a special, special talent. And, you know, we need to appreciate what we have. I mean, I like what Spurrier said. He goes, after one more year, we're going to shake his hand and thank him for all he's done for us.
Yeah, it's hard to believe his South Carolina career is pretty much 2/3 over now. I'm gonna be really sad the day that we do have to say goodbye to him, because he has been fun to watch, very fun to watch. Another guy who has been fun to watch. And this is just want recognition of the hit that DJ Swearinger put on Andre Ellington yesterday. That
and if you haven't seen it, go Google DJ Swearinger GIF,
right?
GIF. Just Google it. There's about four versions of it, and they're all fun.
Yeah, yeah. And it was one of those things where at the time we're like, "What a dumb play!" It was awesome. Don't get me wrong, but what a stupid play, and we were thinking it might cost us the game, but now here we are almost 24 hours later, and we're like sharing that GIF and that photo of Ellington flying through the air with everybody we know. And that's
anybody else got it as their background on their phone? Just asking.
not yet. But he hits him, and then he just does a, you know, a WWE, you know, flex standing over Ellington. Absolutely deserved a 15-yard penalty, but since we won the game, it was absolutely worth it.
And the cool thing there too is, if I don't know if you've noticed this, because it's hard to miss DJ when he's on screen. You know, he's chewing up scenery. But Akeem Auguste walks in as DJ is flexing.
Yeah,
and he just chills. He just walks over and chills and looks down at Ellington like, "Man, I'm sorry for you."
So,
you know, I didn't listen to I haven't heard the LS call of that, or, you know, but I can just imagine after the flag, LS or Tommy going, "Who cares?"
You know, like, right.
Well, I think that's a rule. Every epic Carolina call has to have that in it at some point.
So the call actually, you know, I didn't put that one in the intro. I didn't, but there were a couple of Todd classics. He did drop a boom on us, on I think Bruce Ellington's last touchdown, and then he on Dylan Thompson's 20-yard scramble, he says the redshirt sophomore from Boiling Springs.
And we don't get the benefit of seeing this in the production phase. So, did you include the one where, after I think Clowney's third sack, Ellis says, "Feed him. You gotta feed him."
I actually think that got edited out because it just got too long. But yeah, feed him. Yeah, Todd Ellis, and then Tommy Suggs. You know, the dichotomy between those two is just, it's terribly wonderful to listen to those two together. It's just an unintentional comedy every outing for those guys. So the regular season's over, another 10-2 season. Now we're looking at bowl possibilities. And you guys throw out what you have seen. It looks like it's probably boiling down to either the Outback or the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. And I just did a Lou Holtz. I just spit all over the place when I said TaxSlayer. And opponents that I've seen could be Northwestern, Wisconsin, and an outside shot against either Michigan or Michigan State. Anybody seen anything different?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, the Capital One Bowl Twitter feed, they pretty much tell you right up front what's going to happen. They try to be cute about it. They'll say, like, name redacted is a really exciting quarterback.
You know? Right.
And we all know who they're talking about. So Capital One's going to take either LSU or TAMU, and the Cotton will take the other one. And then the Outback is going to choose between, I think, what will be between Georgia or us. And I think the conference will lean on them to take Georgia. Then the weird thing is the Chick-fil-A, which is pretty much stuck with Clemson. I mean, I don't know how they're going to avoid it. Because if they pass Clemson, they've got to pick just a putrid team.
Right.
There's nobody left other than Florida State and Clemson. So they'll probably be forced to take Clemson, and that washes us to the Gator, where I think we'll probably face Northwestern.
G-Man, got any different take on that?
No, I've been reading the same stuff you guys have been reading. Well, who does that put in the Chick-fil-A? The either LSU or TAMU?
Yeah, the one that didn't get the Capital One. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Well, who gets the Cotton then?
Wait, no, that's right. We may have to go back and look at this, folks. Late-breaking development.
Yeah, so if you say, let me see, Chick-fil-A.
Where's Georgia going? And Georgia might, if Georgia loses, then Georgia might end up in the Chick-fil-A.
They could fall that far, but I doubt it. So if Alabama wins, then Bama goes BCS. Florida's locked into a BCS as a top four. Is that right?
They're sugar.
That's right. They'll be in sugar.
So then you got Cotton is Texas A&M or LSU.
And Capital
One might be Georgia. That's how one of those other teams would fall to the Chick-fil-A.
Right.
So Clemson could get LSU. They could get Texas A&M. They could get – I don't think they could get Alabama. I don't think if Alabama lost, I don't believe they'd fall nearly that far. But, yeah, so Clemson – it sounds like they'll get a tough matchup either way, and we'll get a middling Big Ten team that we better not lose to. So, all right, in other news, some firings today. Gene Chizik was fired from Auburn. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, is that a good job now? Because you're in terrible shape as a football program. Somebody tweeted today that the last three coaches that they fired all haven't had an undefeated season while they were at Auburn. And now you've got NCAA investigation hanging over your head. Who?
I hear a noise in the background. That noise is a guy revving his motorcycle.
Tom O'Brien?
No, it's Bobby Petrino getting ready to drive into town.
You think Petrino would take that job?
He's the only guy left that would. I mean, you know, if Mike Leach gets run off from Washington State in the meantime, maybe. But other than that, I think it's pretty much Petrino.
Yeah. And then Tom O'Brien fired from NC State. I don't know. You know, is James Franklin going to be on the move? The athletic director at NC State said it is – not going to be James Franklin, that there is no mutual interest between those two. But you got to think, I think both of you said last week, if Franklin is going to move, his stock is never going to be higher. But after, did either of you see that Vandy video after they beat Tennessee?
No,
I did not.
Either that guy is the greatest salesman of all time, or he really believes in that football program and is going to sign an extension there. So I don't know. But
we may have found his weakness then. It may be hubris.
Right.
You know, he may think he can do the impossible, and if so, you know, it'll be a shame. He needs to go now.
And also an interesting note on the NC State job. I think some website called coachingrumors.com or something said that NC State, who are they going to go after? They were going to go after somebody that I know they can't get, but their next choice would be Chad Morris. What do you think of that?
Anyone? Yeah, you know, I don't know. He's proven he can pretty much move the ball against ACC competition, so and that's you know, yeah. NC State needs to take that step. So it makes sense for them.
You know, as strange as this may sound, I kind of hope that doesn't happen. And I hope that Clemson stays exactly like they are.
Right.
I mean, you know, hope they don't try to figure out that you, you know, win football games by controlling the line of scrimmage and playing defense.
Yeah, and Spurrier actually hinted at that at the coach's show today. And I don't think either of you guys watch the coach show, but because it's trash television. I mean, it's really not worth watching, but I've gotten into a habit. Spurrier said, you know, I think a lot of these ACC teams, they sling it three times and then punt the ball back to Clemson, and you just can't do that, not against that offense. And he's right, you know. I mean, I don't understand why people haven't taken the approach of 6 yards is the way to beat that offense. Get 6 yards at a pop and burn the clock.
Yeah. All right, so let's do a quick version of
This week in Dabo.
So, T-Bone, you're really in tune with the Clemson program. Where does Dabo go now? I mean, they're being called soft and weak and all this. I mean, how much is he going to have to change that program to change the perception?
They're really frustrated with, you know, strangely, the defense still. I guess not strangely. That defense is, you know, putrid. But I don't know that Venables is – I don't know if they're patient enough for that. But I don't really think we're going to see any changes unless Morris gets hired away. But what we are going to see, and gentlemen, prepare yourselves, it is time for a stunt. We've seen the Dabo playbook. There will be a stunt, and it will have to be epic in proportion. He's going to claim that, you know, Spurrier's trying to steal his wife or something. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. And Spurrier, you know, other than the fact that he's a good moral gentleman, I think probably could.
if he wanted to.
But some huge stunt, and it'll be this week. I mean, it'll be maybe late in the week or something. I don't know. But prepare yourselves, because they've got to do something. He's got to throw some red meat to that stupid inbred crowd. And, you know, this is the time he's going to do it. No big changes, because when has he ever done anything substantive? It's all smoke and mirrors and flash in the pan.
Are there any rumors up there of Boyd turning pro? Because, you know, supposedly this is a weak quarterback class going into the NFL draft.
I have not heard that. Although, you know, to be honest with you, the last 24 hours, you can't get them to talk about it. They're fascinated with the weather and stock options and things like that.
Christmas shopping.
And by stock options, I'm not referring to financial documents. I'm referring to caps.
Livestock.
Livestock options. Got
right.
It.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Man's got to have options, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen Chris Lowe, the SEC blogger for ESPN, does a good job today talking about how Spurrier owns Clemson now. He's now what, 4-1, right. Or he's yeah, that's right, yeah. So check out Chris Lowe on ESPN. Now Spurrier's been here longer than that.
4-9, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Spurrier
he's 4 out of 5.
Like 4-3, no, but Dabo's 1-4.
I think he's 5-5 total, but he's 4-1 against Dabo.
That's what it yeah. is. That's yeah. what I was thinking. 4-1 against Dabo. So. Yeah, I you know, maybe Dabo will have a question planted or a fake quote made up that he can rant on. Maybe that'll be fun. Well, at least
he may be desperate enough to really like wreck a tractor in a dramatic way or something.
You know? Right. Yeah. Well, we don't have to put up with them being in the ACC championship. We don't have to put up with them playing in a BCS bowl. So things have turned out pretty well in the last couple of days here for us. All right, quick SEC championship game. G-Man, who you got?
Bama by 14.
T-Bone.
Georgia's got a puncher's chance, but that's all they've got. I think 9 out of 10 times this game goes to Bama, and I think it won't be as close as G-Man thinks.
All right. Well, Bakari Rambo for Georgia says that Georgia is better at every position than Alabama. That's what he said yesterday after their game against Georgia Tech. So if they are, then Georgia should probably win by about 6 touchdowns. but I don't think they will. We'll see. God almighty, Roll Tide roll. That's all I got to say.
Yep. Roll Tide roll.
All right, any final thoughts? We'll get another podcast together here in a week or so, but that's going to end the regular season podcasting. Any thoughts from you guys?
Just warm fuzzies, man.
Yep, I hear you.
Great. It's a great day to be a Gamecock.
Well, one thing we're going to be able to continue to do as we sign off from every podcast, and now somebody on Twitter has ripped us off. They now have a Days Since Clemson Has Beat Us in Football podcast. Not a podcast, Twitter feed, and it's not us.
Corey Miller is ripping us off, too, in Columbia on the radio, by the way. Same thing.
Oh, the
you know, there's so many instances of this. I'm not going to go off on a rant here, but there's so many instances of this. It's heartening for us to contribute to the Gamecock experience the way we have. For example, naming the Beast Board,
right?
Prompting the university to come out with an official "What channel is the game on?" Twitter feed, things like this that we're doing. But it would be nice to get some attribution every now and then.
Right. Yeah. Well, you two guys are lawyers. What do we got to do to protect some of our intellectual property?
I don't know. I'm not a good lawyer.
Well, with that, I will tell you guys that it has now been 1,458 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football, and that number is going to get a lot bigger. We're going to add at least 360-some-odd days to that over the next year. So I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, reminding you to follow us on Twitter at RubberChickens, and that is R-U-B-R Chickens. Tell your friends, tell your family. South Carolina beat Clemson, guys.
Woohoo!
Talk to you soon.
Woohoo! Young. It's not my